Okay, let's. We're gonna have to try and do this. Is this screwing everything up? Okay. All right, so we can keep both. All right. Thank you, Joe. When the commission made its adoption in December and we pulled out that grouping that was characterized as not meeting criteria, districts above objective, and no proposed change, I assume we're going to capture most of that grouping in 4 and 5, regions 4 and 5.
The grouping, that grouping of districts that are meeting objective?
No, not meeting objective and not meeting criteria.
Yes.
No proposed changes.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, that's correct.
Okay,
yes.
So I think with that qualification, I think it makes sense to take, you know, the other regions. You know, a lot of this is tied to the authorization of a third license, and I can't figure out where that's tied into our agenda.
And so we have captured the third license in the elk in the next agenda item.
That makes sense.
The elk topic, yes.
All right. All right. With that, I'll come back to the commission unless there's any big objection. I think the recommendation of staff to deal with 1, 2, 3, 6, and 7 makes the most sense right now. Thank you. And certainly entertain discussion or a motion. Yes.
Mr. Chair, I move the Fish and Wildlife Commission adopt as the final 2020 elk shoulder season for Region 1, 2, 6, and 7 as presented by FWP, except for calendar rotation and those season elements specifically identified for change. All other aspects of these seasons are to remain unchanged.
We have a motion, and you're saying presented, but also I clarify as proposed as well. So there's a motion on the floor
pertaining to
1, 2, 3, 6, and 7 as proposed by the department. Do I have a second?
I'll second the motion.
Second. There are some changes. Mr. Kujula, do you want to point those out before we take comment, or?
I'm Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry if this is the wrong place to break in. I just wanted to keep current with the motion so that everybody's on the same page and not caught up at the end. The motion, as we understand it, is for 2020. So the motion is talking about adopting the 2020 shoulder seasons. I just want to make sure everybody's on the same page and if that's is indeed how the commission wanted to frame it. Okay, thank you.
Okay, with that understanding, you know, there are some, there were the changes in 3, changes from the tentative in 6, I believe. Is there comment? Yeah. Likewise, yeah. In 2. Is there any discussion from the, or questions from the commission on those changes from the tentative?
Chairman, I have a quick question in regards to, and it would pertain to all of them, but at the December meeting when we talked about eliminating the early or late shoulder seasons, we also talked about the damage hunts and management hunts work, and I ask if you could bring back some information or proposals on how we might change those to better take care of problems that are now being taken care of under the shoulder seasons, damage hunts and whatnot did not address specifically when they call in. It's when the elk or deer or whatever come down on the hay fields and start causing damage. It takes close to a week. It's set up, get the hunter's roster out, get the names and get them called. And I hear from landowners and pretty much with the shoulder seasons, that night or the next day, people could be out and start getting them out of their crop, damage did not occur or as much. So I guess I would facilitate that type of.
Commissioner Stuker, Mr. Chairman, thank you for that question. It's a good one, and it came up, that topic as well came up in public comment. And first speaking in answer to your question to staff exploration, and you may recall we had a conversation at one of the previous discussions on this topic that the supplemental game damage license hunt, which is a type of game damage response, it's not meant for population control, it's meant for distribution of animals out of the conflict situation. That particular tool, as it's specifically identified in statutory language, allows for considerable flexibility for the landowner to identify the hunter. So to the degree the hunter not knowing the property or not knowing the situation, there's already some considerable capacity to address that. Now, recognizing that, then it falls to the department to be as quick as we can to get those people identified, to make contact with those people, and to get the authorization in their hands. So that's the piece that we've got to focus on. For other hunters that aren't identified by the landowner, and sometimes it's not necessarily uncommon for us to run into landowners that will identify some hunters, but not all of the hunters that they're eligible to identify. And so we do still have a need to identify public hunters. There's been some discussion, maybe we go backwards a little bit to do what we used to do, which is to go to lists of successful or unsuccessful bee license applicants in that district, the idea being that by their application, they already have expressed an interest and an understanding of that district. And maybe also if we go to the list of successfuls, if they already have if they still have an unused license in hand, that means we only need to contact them. They don't need to find the additional license. That's something we're chasing down. The public comment, several times it was identified, several times there was an advocacy for the hunt roster. It's clear the public likes the hunt roster. There's an equity to the hunt roster. You get your name in by such and such a date, and then it's randomized, so it's drawn of sorts, and then out comes your number, and people like that randomization. But the public comments suggested that perhaps it's time to think about doing two sign-ups. One sign-up mid-summer, early summer for the early game damage season, and then another one come later in the fall to confirm interest for folks wanting to participate in a game damage hunt potentially late in the season. Those are some things that are on the radar screen, Commissioner Stuker.
Further questions or comments to staff or particular motion for 1, 2, 3, 6, and 7?
You'll probably hear me. I am comfortable with pairing these 1, 2, 3, 6, and 7 regarding shoulder seasons because it's important for us to remember those performance criteria that those. Doing the best I can. I think it's important that we follow the performance criteria based on the shoulder season because obviously they can be met by some of these districts proving it, and if they want a shoulder season, I think it's important to give them that if they're showing they're working in the right direction. So first off, I would just like to give some accolades to those regions that did meet those performance criteria. I think it's just important that the people in those regions know that and understand that. So, stand on that says we've got a collaborative group of individuals, a collaborative group of various interests, and they're coming up with some consistent or ideas that we can use. So, I'm comfortable with what is coming out of 1, 2, 3, 6, and 7.
Thank you, Commissioner Brower.
This is a big set of decisions and a lot of issues in each hunting district.
And I want to reiterate that everything revolves around the ability of the hunter to access elk. In many of these hunting districts, longer and more tags did not result in more access or more elk killed. And there seems to be a misconception out there that shoulder season equals killing more elk, and it just simply has not been the case in a lot of hunting districts. Our job is to get elk populations to a healthy objective level as quickly as possible. And what I learned through this process, and I think many of us learned, and the public certainly knows and commented on heavily, was that the way to do that is to tailor the tools to the problems in the regions. And I want to especially talk to the areas that I work with between Region 2 and Region 5 and Region 3, is that the biologists went out and did the work and talked to people, and they did tailor their prescriptions, their changes to meet the problems. And I want to applaud that, but it's an ongoing responsibility. And I don't think that the decisions we make today are set in stone forever, that we're going to have to keep coming back and paying attention to what the biologists are hearing from the landowners or hearing from the hunters.
Thank you, Commissioner Byarth. Anything further from the commission before I turn it over to the public? Seeing none, this is, again, we're focused just on 1, 2, 3, 6, and 7, and comment needs to be limited to essentially the changes from the tentative. So please come forward and comment if you have comments on this particular grouping.
While they're coming up, I'd ask them to, along with their name and where they're coming from, to be explicit about which hunting districts they're.
That'd be appreciated. And if the podium being over there is making it difficult for the public to address us, let me know and we'll shift it back around. We kind of moved it over to the corner like that in an effort to deal with the expected crowd. As well as it does. If you could, you know, there's kind of that magic spot about 2 inches away. I apologize.
There you go. Mr. Chairman, fellow commissioners, and I was trying to think of your name. Anyway, Martha, yes, Martha. I'm Dave Stone from the Anaconda Sportsman's Club. I'm the vice president. I spent a lot of time on these issues. It's a very contentious issue, and so I wanted to be as thorough as I could. So I spoke to a lot of ranchers. I talked to the biologists. I talked to game wardens. Then I went back and brought this information back to our club members, and we voted on different ones. And so what I'm going to talk on is areas 210 through 217. Except for 214, we agreed with your proposed changes. We also thought that maybe those cow permits could be extended to the end of December after the general season, so that would help with the harvest on the ranches. In 214, we were happy with the boundary changes that the commission proposed and the biologists. This is very contentious in there for the bulls and the cows. The cows 0 to 5 permits was okay with us. That went over well, but the bull permits and leaving it open general for bulls was, it was like a 60-40 with the club. 60 in favor of having bull permits. So we just decided to let the commissioners refer to the elk management plan and make that decision on there. Hopefully after a winter count could be made before, you know, we make a decision on that. That pretty much has to say what the club, where the club sits. We do think that maybe help talking with the ranchers that those elk B licenses extended into the month of December to the 1st of January would help them too, and we would be okay with that. The thing that we weren't okay with was the August 15th startup of the season, and we thought that could be handled with a damage hunt.
Thank you for your comment. Further public comment here in Helena.